All right, good evening, everyone. We're so glad you're able to make it out tonight for our cantata Friday night Good Friday service. We're going to begin with singing together. If you would take your hymn book and turn to 247, if you even need the words, to sing The Old Rugged Cross. Let's go ahead and stand together as we sing. 247, The Old Rugged Cross.
Welcome you officially. We're so glad to have you here tonight for our Good Friday service, our Easter cantata. I'm going to begin in a word of prayer. It's good to meet many of you. Saw some visitors, first-time visitors, others who've been with us before. Perhaps you come to the cantatas regularly. We are glad to have you out here tonight. A lot of time and effort and labor has gone into the cantata from the choir and the pianists and those involved, and looking forward to the Lord receiving the glory tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. After that, our cantata will begin. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity tonight on this traditionally called Good Friday to have a service where we can assemble together and honor you. Lord, what a privilege to remember the cross, to remember what Jesus Christ, our substitute lamb, did on Calvary for our sins. Lord, tonight as the choir sings and Lord really puts the Bible to music, I pray that you would help us to listen to the words of the songs, draw our attention to Lord Jesus Christ, and what the true story, Lord, of Easter is all about. We thank you, Lord, for those that are with us tonight, those that are maybe here at an invitation from a friend, those that maybe come regularly, Lord, part of another church, those that may be watching from home, Lord, by way of live stream, just due to maybe some sickness or maybe out of town on a work trip. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege again to have this local church where we can uplift the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross. We ask that you work in hearts tonight, Lord. We ask your blessing now on all that's done in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Love, and it begins with a triumphant procession. The Easter story reminds us of our Heavenly Father who loved us so much that he was willing to sacrifice his only Son to provide a means for us to be forgiven and reconciled to our Creator. The Easter story is a story of love that we can never comprehend, a love that we cannot ever earn, and yet it is showered on us without cost. The Easter story is about sacrificial love. A type of love that most of us can only catch a vision of in this life.
Be all else to be saved, that thou art. Mark tells us that Jesus, the miracle worker, the healer, the deliverer, entered the city of Jerusalem on a colt. Many had heard of his teaching. Many had heard of his amazing power. People left their homes and their work to see this Jesus in person, to welcome him, to touch perhaps even the hem of his garment. Many believed that Jesus would gain more and more support and would overthrow the Roman government. He would be their Messiah. They spread their cloaks and palm branches to make a pathway for him to enter the city. Some went ahead of him and some followed. And they called out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday was a reason to celebrate. Jesus, the carpenter's son, was the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy for the people. Today, Jesus, the Lamb of God, is the fulfillment of God's gracious offer of loving forgiveness.
Thank you.
The hymn writer prays, "Oh, may my love to thee, pure, warm, and chainless be, a living fire." We pray with him that our love for Jesus will be more than just words. That it will be realized in the way we live our lives, in the way we use our talents, our energies, our resources, and in the way we love those around us. The Easter story begins with a triumphant procession and ends with a shout of victory, but Mark tells us in his gospel that 2 days before the Passover, trouble had begun. The religious leaders were unsettled by the teachings of Jesus. The chief priests and scribes met and launched a plot to arrest Jesus and to kill him. How ironic that it would be Judas, one of the 12 disciples, who would step forward and offer to betray the Lord. Judas met secretly with the leaders of the local government and made the arrangements, then sat back to wait for the right time. It was the feast of Passover. The disciples gathered in an upper room. In the midst of dinner, Jesus looked around the table. The disciples grew silent, waiting for him to speak. He announced, "One of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." Jesus knew very well what was in Judas's heart. Jesus knew that he was destined to die, and soon. Later that evening, Jesus broke the bread and said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." was now midnight in the Garden of Gethsemane. Knowing what lay ahead, Jesus knelt and prayed, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." But it was not to be. On that same night, Jesus was arrested and jailed, questioned, beaten. The next day, he was sentenced to die on a cross. Through it all, he could not and would not speak to defend himself. Christ carried his own cross up the hill to Golgotha, where he was crucified between two thieves. His disciples, in fear for their lives, had all fled, and only the women, Mary his mother, Mary his aunt, and Mary Magdalene, stayed until the bitter end, when Jesus finally cried out, "It is finished."
You.
When Jesus died, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. A Roman centurion who stood nearby was moved to say, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Jesus had breathed his last. His disciples had fled. His followers were in despair. The promised Messiah had let them all down. Why hadn't he saved himself? What had happened to his miraculous power? Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council and a secret follower of Jesus, went to Pilate and boldly asked for Jesus' body. Pilate gave his permission, and Joseph took Jesus' body down from the cross, tenderly wrapped it in linen, and laid the body in his own tomb. On the third day, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices to the tomb that morning to anoint Jesus' body. The sun had just risen. The dew was still on the grass. They came to the tomb and discovered that the stone which had sealed the entry had been rolled away. The soldiers who were to guard the tomb were mysteriously absent. And an angel sitting on the right hand of the tomb said to them, "Be not affrighted. He is risen. He is not here." We can only begin to imagine the joy the women felt to hear those words. Surely they must have cried out, "Alleluia! Alleluia!"
This is the Easter story.
The Easter story is truly a story of contrasts, of mourning and of celebration, of betrayal and loyalty, of defeat and victory, of death and new life. It is most importantly a story of wondrous love and a risen, victorious Savior. The Bible reads in 1 Corinthians 15, "Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ."
Now is
In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. He is risen. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The choir has prepared one additional song to sing for you tonight that we wish to surprise you with by not putting it on the scheduled events for this evening. The title of this song is Arise, My Soul, Arise. In the mid-17th century, a man by the name of Charles Wesley wrote the words to this song 4 years after his conversion. Conversion, you may ask, what is that? Did he join up with a church? No, he did not. Did he get baptized? No, he did not. Charles was already a devout religious man, a member of the Anglican Church. He was religious, but not converted. Having studied the scriptures at Oxford University and having a membership in an holy club where they met weekly practicing fasting, prayers, doing good deeds, and helping the poor. Yet he knew deep within his soul he was not at peace with God. It was not until he met Mr. Thomas Bray, an innocent mechanic on board a boat, that Charles began to understand the death of Christ and what it was all about. Mr. Bray explained to him in simple terms that God did something for us that we could not do for ourselves. Our sins, which are many, can never be paid for by the good that we seek to do. So God became a man and bore our sins upon his own body on that cross. And the only forgiveness of sins that satisfies the Creator that made you is found in Jesus Christ, the Creator himself. On May 20th, 1738, by the testimony of his very own journal, Charles Wesley stopped trusting in his family's religion and good works, and instead he cried out to God that Christ's death is the full payment for his sin. He finally understood. He finally was converted, and his heart was finally at peace with God. 4 years later, he writes the words, "Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne my surety stands. My name is written on his hands." As the choir sings this song, can you also relate to these words? "My God is reconciled. His pardoning voice I hear. He owns me as his child. I can no longer fear." The choir will now sing, "Arise, my soul, arise."
Take off thy guilty fears.
our director. Thank you, Kelly, at the piano. We'll say more about that toward the end. I trust that the songs, the Bible principles put to music, drew your heart closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to wrap things up with just a few words. Again, thank you for being here. Some of you may have slipped in since I welcomed you at the beginning. I'm Pastor Dwayne Boyer, pastor of Independent Bible Church here of Duryea. So glad to have you out here on this Good Friday service. You know, the entire Bible, for some, the Bible is a confusing book. And the entire Bible is made up of 66 individual books in one cover, from Genesis to Revelation. Many people, almost everyone here, probably owns a copy of the Bible somewhere, maybe many. But the average person may open up and say, I don't know, I know some verses, I know some stories, I'm not really sure what the point of the Bible is. It's confusing. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible has one story. It's the story of redemption. Redeem means to purchase or buy back. It's a story of what happened when man sinned, and because of sin, it separated us from our God, our Creator. And rather than leave us separated to die in our sins and to go to a place called hell, God, Almighty God, Creator, took the initiative to purchase us and buy us back, to reconcile us to God, that we might have a personal relationship with our Creator. That's the whole Bible. There may be things you may not understand in the history of Israel and all the things in the Old Testament leading up to the New Testament, but the entire Bible is one large love letter from God to you and I, showing us the plan of redemption. Now, all religions in the world have one thing in common, except for what I'm going to call biblical Christianity. All religions will say, in order to find favor with God, or to be reconciled with God, or to get to heaven, you've got to do something. You've got to do something, and you've got to keep on doing something. And maybe, just maybe, you might find favor with God. Maybe, just maybe, you'll get to heaven. Now, biblical Christianity, the story of the Bible, though, is a lot different. It says, as you heard tonight, and it says throughout the Bible, is you can't do anything. Now, we're sinners, and so we don't like to hear that. No, I can do something. I can find favor with God. I can find merit. Many of you might say, well, what are we here for tonight? Why does your church have services? Why do you do these things? We don't do these things to find favor with God. We do these things because Christ is risen. We don't pray to find favor with God. We pray because He is risen. We don't come to church and assemble on a regular basis in order to please God. We come because He is risen. We don't go share our testimony with others and pass out gospel tracts and try to share because we hope that God will be pleased with that. We do that because He is risen. We do that for those who have trusted Christ because we have a personal relationship with God. Our sins are forgiven. We don't do it out of duty or obligation. All right, God, I hope you see that I was at church. I hope you see that I pray a lot. I hope you see that I read my Bible. I hope you see that I give money away. I hope you see that I try to help other people. I hope you see I was baptized. I hope you see I go to Mass. I hope you see that I do things, God. And maybe, just maybe, God's going to say, wow, look at all that person does. That's what all religions of the world will say, or it will say something like this. You do those things, trust Jesus and the story of Calvary, but you got to keep doing those things. Just add Jesus to what you do. And you're a lot better than a lot of those people that live near you and some of your coworkers, some of your neighbors and some of your old classmates. Woo, you're not like them. You see what they do on social media. You read what happens on the news. You don't do those kind of things. You've never murdered. You try to be faithful to your spouse and your kids. And you don't do those things. You're a pretty good person. And you know what? God, who's love, is going to let you in. But that's not the story of the Bible. The entire story of the Bible and what we are celebrating here at Easter is that there's nothing that you can do. All of our deeds and righteous acts that we think are righteous are as filthy rags in the sight of God. and actually offend God. To think that you, a sinner, I, a sinner, can do good deeds and that God will overlook our sin and let us in. That's why of the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross, I want to focus on the one. You heard it tonight. It is finished. It is finished. Now in the English it's three words, but in the original Greek, or perhaps the Aramaic, Christ would have just said one word. And it's tetelestai. And all who heard it would have known exactly what it meant. Tetelestai, it is finished, it is completed, it is paid in full. It has the idea of it's completely paid, completely satisfied, and nothing can be added to it. It was a word very commonly used in business. Tetelestai, if you went to the bank and you had a debt to pay and finally you were turning in your final payment, like some of you perhaps with mortgage, the banker would say, tetelestai. It's finished. You've paid off the debt in full. There's nothing else to be done. It's complete. It's finished. It's done. Tetelestai. That's what Christ cried on the cross just before he gave up his life. It is finished. Now we have to answer that question. What do you mean it is finished? It. Sin. The sin debt. The payment. The penalty. God's wrath is satisfied. Christ took our place. The spotless Son of God who never died came to this earth, took our place as a substitute lamb, the Passover lamb, shed his blood, took our sins, all of the sins of the world on him, took God's wrath poured out on him, those hours of darkness. That's why he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For God cannot look upon sin. His Son became sin for us. And then Christ said, it is finished. It is paid for completely. Nothing can be added to it. And yet since that time, and even before that time, man has tried to keep adding to it. And there's many here today and watching who have no problem believing the Easter story. I believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. Absolutely. But we add Jesus to our own works. I'll do that. I'll even pray a prayer. But I'm going to keep on doing stuff. I keep on doing all this stuff. I'll add it to it just in case, but I'm going to keep doing all this stuff on a regular basis, though it's not in the Bible. And really, biblical salvation would have you have to make a break with those things completely if you're trusting in those for salvation. It is finished. Nothing that man can do anymore. Christ took our place. You say, well, what then? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift. You can't earn a gift. It's a free gift that Christ paid for on the cross, paid in full. To think that I can earn it or do enough deeds offends a holy God. It violates the Word of God. The entire Bible points out that you and I cannot do anything, but that Christ did it all. And the Easter story is Christ's death, burial, and then as that old preacher said there, maybe you've heard the message, it's a famous message, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. If you've never listened to that, it's pretty well known. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. All right? Christ didn't stay dead. He rose again, and his resurrection, Easter, Resurrection Sunday, why we gather, not just on that Sunday, but every Lord's Day, and even more than that, is not out of duty or obligation. Hope God you see the word church a lot. It's because those of us who have trusted Christ by faith know that he is risen, and we obey his commands not out of duty, but out of love, because our Savior is risen and he has given us commands, and we do that out of love, not out of duty or obligation. I want to ask you today, those in the choir, those here watching, young and old, those watching from home, I'm not asking you if you're a member of a church. I'm not asking you if you have Bibles and read them. I'm not asking you if you pray. I'm not asking if you do stuff on a regular basis. I'm not asking if you have an impeccable work record. I'm asking about all those kind of things that if I were to come up to you after the service and say, so nice to meet you. Are you a Christian? Are you saved? Do you know for sure if you die tonight you'd go to heaven? The answer to many people, I hope so, I think so, I'm trying, nobody really knows. And you give me a list of stuff you've done? Usually indicates that you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You don't have a personal relationship with the Lord. Maybe that's how you were raised. Maybe that's just what you saw. Maybe you never really attempted the Bible. I'd love for you to meet with myself, my wife who's not here tonight, sick, someone from the church here maybe that invited you, that's a believer. All you need to do is say, hey, what's that guy talking about? Could you tell me more? I've never quite heard it that way. Is that true? Are you one of those? I hope that if you're here tonight and you're one of those, you would say, I would love to tell you my personal testimony. Testimony of how I was lost and came to believe the story of the Bible that Christ paid it all. And when I put, could I share you my testimony? I'd love to walk you through that. I hope that anybody that's saved would absolutely jump at that. Absolutely, I'd love to share you how I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And now He has risen, and I don't do any of these things to find favor. I put my personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. I believe Him when He said it is finished. I believe that He rose again from the dead, and He cannot die again. I believe the ascended is at the right hand of the Father, and I believe that He's coming back one day. Wow. Now, you might have questions, and the Bible gives the answers, and you might say, well, how come there's all these problems today? You know, the Bible has the answers to all of that. He conquered sin, death, the grave, and Satan. He can give eternal life, and one day He's coming back again, and one day He's going to abolish all of that. The Bible tells us that, and we can believe it. If you're here tonight, whether you're a member of this church, another church, whether you're considered non-religious, or it's a Holy Week, Easter, sure, I'll go to stuff like this. Maybe if it's true, it'll help me find favor with God. Well, it's not going to help you find favor with God. Christ paid it all. He's not dead. He's alive. He's the only one that can forgive your sins. I can't. He's the only one that can guarantee you eternal life even after you die. I can't do that. He's the only one who never sinned. He's the only one who died for you. He's the only one that rose again. He's the only one that'll never die. Wow. Therefore, He says to all of us, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He's talking about heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no woman, no person cometh to the Father, heaven, but by me, through me, what I did on the cross. What? Nothing else. If you're here tonight, you're trusting in anything other than Christ and Christ alone, or you've added Christ to anything else, I'm here to tell you, based on the Word of God, you're not a child of God. You need to cut all ties to anything else and stand completely by faith on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be rescued. Rescued from what? Your sin. Wow. 1 Timothy says this, and I'll close. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men, 360, all men to be saved, and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then Paul says, of whom I'm chief. If you're here tonight and you've never personally put your faith and trust in Christ, you are still separated from God. Your sin has separated you. The only way to get reconciled is to cast yourself at the cross, foot of the cross, call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I know that my sin has condemned me to hell. I believe, though, that You died on the cross for me, my sins, me, and that You love me. I believe that You died and rose again. I believe that You are alive and You liveth forevermore. And I'm asking You in faith to forgive my sins and to give me eternal life and make me one of Your children. Now, the Bible says when you do that with a sincere heart, calling upon Him in faith, the Bible says you shall be saved. You need to believe that then. call upon the Lord. I'd just like to ask you, before we conclude, every head bowed, every eye closed. You've paid excellent attention, even some of the young people that are in here, maybe getting a little fidgety. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Could I just ask you a simple question? This is between you and the Lord. You're not here to impress me. I don't know your heart. I'm a sinner just like you. I trusted Christ, though, when I was a young boy. And I know that I'm saved. And I want you to know that you can know that as well. Perhaps you're here tonight and you'd say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I ever heard it put just like that. I'm not sure I ever really understood the big picture of the Bible. That because of sin, man was cut off, separated from God. But that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish in their sins, but have everlasting life." And I know there's a lot of people in churches perhaps tonight, or a lot of people will be in churches on Sunday, and a lot of people doing a lot of things that hopefully God will find favor, but I've never quite heard it, that I'm a sinner cut off from God, and that Christ did it on the cross, and it is finished. Preacher, I'd like to let you know tonight that I believe what you said. I believe the Bible. And I want to call upon the Lord tonight for salvation. In fact, as you were talking, maybe in the private of your heart, you began to say in your heart exactly what I said. "God, I am a sinner. I'm hopeless. I'm miserable. I've been searching. I'm empty. I've been doing all kinds of things and trying things, but I'm still empty. I don't seem to have any peace. I don't seem to have any hope. I don't seem to have any purpose. But I heard the preacher tonight, and God just spoke to me, and I believe that Christ died for me, and I'm calling upon Him tonight for salvation." Maybe you say, "Preacher, I want you to know, I called upon the Lord even tonight as you were talking." Is there anyone that would raise their hand with only me looking and say, "Yes, I called upon the Lord even now tonight. I asked Him to save me. I believe what you said tonight. I called upon the Lord for forgiveness of sins." Is there anybody that would hold their hand up tonight, not be embarrassed, and say, "You know what? I know I'm a sinner. I believe the story of the Bible. I'm asking the Lord Jesus Christ to save me tonight. And I want you to know that, preacher." Anyone like that at all? Anyone like that at all? Now, you might be here tonight and say, "I don't know, that's a little bit scary." I'm not here to embarrass you. If I could answer any of your questions, I'll be at the back after the service. I'd love to meet you. I'd love to set up a time where my wife and I can visit with you. If you came with someone tonight and they're a believer, they'd be happy to talk with you even tonight. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Please don't put it off and say, "Well, after Easter, it's a busy week. I've got a lot of family coming in. I need to think about it for a week or two. I'll wait till after school," some of you young people might say. "Once I get to summertime," or, "You know, I've got a lot of things not going well in my life. Once I get those straightened out." No, no, no. Today is the day of salvation. You could die tonight. I could die tonight. Would you call upon the Lord? Father, I thank you for the cantata tonight. Lord, it was beautiful music. Lord, the voices blended together in the harmony and the melody. Lord, I think everybody would say, "Wow, that was wonderful. I know a lot of work went into that. Boy, I heard the message of the songs. Wow, Mary, don't you weep." And boy, "Hallelujah," and "Arise, my soul, arise." And we might have enjoyed the music. But Lord, all that's for naught if we leave tonight. Just go about our way and do not receive the free gift of salvation that's being offered tonight. Lord, we don't know that it'll be offered again. None of us know what lies ahead even tonight. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here tonight, anybody watching from home, who in their heart of hearts is empty, who in their heart of hearts is searching, who in their heart of hearts is cut off and separated from God, that you would help them to stop trying and to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. And then, Lord, out of love and obedience, we begin to obey Your word, not to save us, but to obey You, Lord. And what a purpose that You give us. Lord, we thank You for the cross. We thank You for this Sunday, the Lord's Day, Resurrection Day, where we celebrate our resurrected Savior. We know that because Christ died and rose again and conquered death, that all those who put their faith in Christ will also conquer death one day and rise again to be with You forever. Lord, we thank You again for this Good Friday. We thank You for Sunday and the resurrection. And it's our hope and prayer that each person here tonight knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We love You, and we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So good to have you here tonight. Just before I dismiss, if you're visiting with us, we'd love for you to get a free copy of a John and Romans that our church gives out. There's copies right there on the back. You're welcome to take one. It tells you about our church and our service times. We'd love to have you here. If you're not planning to attend anywhere on Easter Sunday, we'd love to have you here. We have a 7 o'clock sunrise service. We have a 10 o'clock morning service and a 6 o'clock evening service. Once again, let me say a big thank you to our conductor, if you would, our music leader, Shane Kohlmeyer, our pianist, Kelly Kramer, all of our folks here in the choir who have been working hard for several months to serve the Lord. I hope you'll go out of your way tonight to shake their hands, to thank them for what they did. I hope it was a true blessing to you. And all of our visitors, thank you for being here tonight. It's a blessing to see you. I hope to see you again. Lord willing, have a blessed Resurrection Sunday. You are dismissed.